Hello, hello, you gorgeous human, and welcome to the Soul Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Jacobo. I'm a soul mentor, a fur mama, a ceviche lover, an Aries sign, and forever your breathwork BFF. Around here, we dive deep into soul work, embodiment, healing, energy, and all the tools to help your soul vibe so dang high, no one can mess with your vibe. This podcast is your daily dose of reminders, realness, and practicality to help you conquer it all. So get ready for some epic conversations, some heart-to-heart chats. Get ready to own your power and connect with the most powerful version of yourself. I think you know what time it is. It's time for some soul activation. Let's freaking do this. Hello, hello, you gorgeous human, and happy freaking Wednesday. All right, if you have not joined the giveaway by now, we do have a giveaway going on the podcast. It was on episode 81, I believe, just the episode before this one, and it's a giveaway, so make sure you go ahead and join it. All you have to do to join is simply share an episode, share yourself listening to the podcast, and you'll be entered for a giveaway. We're giving away some of my favorite books, some of the courses inside the community, and gratitude journals as well, just to go ahead and serve you back and say how grateful I am that you are part of our tribe. So that is that number one and first and foremost, I should say, the giveaway. Now to dive into our episode. Today's episode is going to be a little, I think it's more coming from the heart slash strategy slash teaching. It's a little bit about everything, because one of the questions that I've been getting recently is, Crystal, what got you into breathwork? And there, if you've been following me for a long time, you know that I, just a few years ago, I was at my lowest point in my life where it even hurts to admit this, but even like suicidal thoughts crossed my mind. Now, I never like saw myself going through with them, but the fact that those thoughts were repeatedly in my head often also wasn't a good thing. However, I just did a very well job, a very splendid, phenomenal job at hiding how I was feeling, right? So I quickly learned coping mechanisms that got me to, I guess, help others see what they wanted to see versus what I was feeling. So I got really freaking good at hiding my emotions really freaking fast. And as this question's been coming up in my world lately, is like, what got me into breath work? It's the idea that we grow up as human beings and we develop our brains, we develop our career, we develop our skills as going from daughter to wife to mother, we develop our cooking skills. Like, we develop so many skills in our life. Yet, for many of us, and I myself included in this bunch, we never develop our emotional skills, our emotional intelligence. Not because we don't want to, perhaps it's just because we didn't know. Or, you know, if your background story is similar to mine, we grew up in a house with very limited resources. Let's just say that. So it was never about slowing down and checking on your emotional intelligence, because there was always something to be done. There was always things that you needed to do, things to check off. Like, our family was always constantly go, 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 because we were also trying to survive. So I don't think we don't develop our emotional intelligence, not because we don't want to. I think depending on a situation of a family, resources, backgrounds, there's so many things that are tied to that. But we do a really phenomenal job at encouraging and helping other moms learn how to be a mom. We do a phenomenal job at encouraging new wives to learn how to cook, or when they're 18 or 19, teach sons and daughters to get a new job and new skills. But we never slow down to talk about emotional intelligence. And when you think about breath work, that is one of the reasons why I love breath work so much. Because breath work for me, one, you guys know it changed my life completely, because it stopped my anxiety. It got me into my body. It built my career. It put on the event. Like, breath work was the like leverage, the needle, I don't know, the shift that happened, the switch that happened that changed my entire life, which is why I'm so passionate about it. So that's that. But going more into the emotional side of things, here's what I mean when I say breathwork helps you develop your emotional intelligence or your emotions. every single breath, every single emotion, I should say, let me backtrack. Every single emotion has a breath pattern. So I want you to think about this. Like, when you're scared, what changes? Your breath, right? When you're happy, what changes? Your breath. Perhaps you're agitated. When you're tired, when you're like exhausted, what changes? Your breath. Your breath literally is with you from the day you are born till the day that you pass. And this is a concept that didn't hit me till recently, where I was like, oh shoot, no wonder our breath controls so much of our being, because we breathe literally every day, but we just take it for granted because we're so used to living life on the fast lane. Not again because we want to, but sometimes that is the only way we've learned to live, is do, survive, and be in the moment, right? So when you look at breath work, everything's tied to the breath. And even anxiety, since I am somebody who experienced anxiety for seven years of like severe anxiety. Before I had anxiety here and there, but 7 years it was like getting home, crying in my pillow, putting the pillow over my face, screaming in my pillow, because I didn't know how to control what was happening. And I also didn't want people to think I was broken. I didn't want my parents to be ashamed that I couldn't regulate my emotions. Now looking back at that little girl that suffered anxiety, or like that young adult, because it was in my 20s, it's not that she didn't know how to regulate her emotions. She was just never taught. She was never taught to even feel a damn emotion besides happiness or besides being in love. Oh, I'm in love with my partner. I'm in love with my boyfriend. But aside from that, we know happiness, but then what else? So everything that I do with breath is tied to an emotion. So going into anxiety, when we get anxiety attacks, if you are a fellow anxiety member of mine or experience anxiety, when we get anxiety, our breaths become really shallow, right? It goes like, and next thing you know, and even when you cry and you're like, because there's tears happening, there's so much things happening, our breath becomes very shallow. If we want to gain awareness into our body, when we're having these panic attacks, when we are crying, when we're feeling these moments of defeated in our life almost, or in our body, a simple breath can change the trajectory of our body. When you are feeling anxiety, all you have to do is extend your breaths, meaning our breaths are currently like this in the situation, right? Like you're crying. Or the anxiety. When you can extend your breath simply by big, long inhale and sigh it out, your body literally shifts from flight or fight mode to an awareness trigger, meaning the part of your brain gets activated where you actually think and starts thinking, am I okay? Am I safe? Versus being in a state of panic. And when I learned that, that alone changed my life. And I started doing deep research into breath work. I've gotten multiple certifications now. I've read so much books about breath work. Like, if you know anything about me, I get super obsessed. When I get obsessed about something, like, I want to know the answers. I want to know why the sky's blue, why this or that. And I research and I look up. I go all in on the stuff that like I'm passionate about. And that's what exactly breathwork did for me. It made me become really freaking passionate about, why is this helping me? Why is my anxiety? Why am I feeling good all of a sudden? Why do I have less self-doubt thoughts in my brain? So many things happen. And we realized that in my breath, I was able to tap into my own body. And especially with the breath work curriculum that I've developed by now, it's designed to help you get into your body. Meaning, even if you don't talk to your partner, your kids, you don't talk to anybody about what's happening, when you can get into your breath, you are allowed to see these things that you're harnessing. You're allowed to see these things that you're keeping stored away, because you're keeping these things stored away for the reason that it's became one of your coping mechanisms. Now, Crystal, what the heck is a coping mechanism? A coping mechanism is a way of living. I was going to say something. It's a way of living that has helped you survive up until this point, a coping mechanism. So for many of us, if you grew up in a family who said, don't be scared, don't be sad, you developed coping strategies to suppress emotions. Why? You didn't do it intentionally. And this is what, like, I'm mind blown when I think about breath work. Our parents didn't say, don't be sad, because they wanted you to be like happy all the time. Perhaps they were told, don't be sad. Or they were told, don't, like, they're great grandparents and parents and blah, 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 back and forth. For some reason, somebody thought, oh, I want my kids to be happy, so let me teach them to be happy. Don't be sad. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. And now it became a coping mechanism of generation after generation, literally running away from fear, literally running away from anytime we feel sad, anytime we feel like emotions. So we've developed coping mechanisms to hide those emotions pretty darn good, so that the people that we love can be proud of us, whether it's guardians, whether it's parents, grandparents, so on and so forth, right? But here's what I want you to remember. With these coping mechanisms, what you've done is you've learned to suppress these emotions so dang good. I want you to think almost like of a, think of it like a beach ball. If you were to grab a beach ball and you were to submerge it underwater, what's going to happen? It's going to shoot you up, like up into the pool. When we were little kids, me and my brother used to do this all the time. We used to go to the bottom of the pool and hold the ball, and then just boom, it would like shoot us up, right? That is exactly what happens with the emotions. When we learn to suppress them, when we develop these coping mechanisms, we bleed on the people that don't hurt us. We perhaps go off on our children. We go off on partners. We go off on coworkers. We go off on people, not because we want to or not because we're freaking assholes, but because at such a young age, we've compressed these emotions, and eventually, because it happens to every single one of us, so eventually something that someone says, boom, triggers that off. And the divorce happens, the fight happens, you stop talking to your friend, you stop talking to your parents. It wasn't that one thing that they said. You have to keep in mind that it's been accumulation, there you go. I was thinking in Spanish, I'm out here in my brain. It's been accumulation of all these thoughts being gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered, and eventually they're going to burst. So what breathwork allows you to do is you get into your body. So ask me why I'm obsessed with breathwork. It's because of that. I was never a person that was comfortable sharing how she felt, or sharing that she didn't love herself, or sharing that perhaps she second-guessed herself. Like, no, I was raised by two hardworking parents. I was raised by a dad who was very into, come on, you're my oldest. You don't cry. You're tough. And my coping mechanism was, I don't cry. I don't show fear. I don't show emotion. And I became really freaking good at that. So quickly what happened is, when things didn't go my way, or when fights would happen, and I don't even want to say fights, because if you think about it, like as a 12-year-old or 13-year-old, like what real fights can you have? It was more arguments or miscommunications, right? When miscommunications happen in middle school, what would happen? We would get into fights, like actual fist fights with kids. And I think about it to myself, and I never learned how to express what I was feeling. I just learned to be reactive. I learned that if you don't see things my way, boom, like it's an argument. Moving forward in my relationships, that's exactly what I was being. I didn't realize this, but I was being very reactive. If my husband or my boyfriend at that time didn't do something, I'll give you guys an example that comes up all the time, but it was our anniversary, and I think we were celebrating like 3 years. And it was our anniversary, and I had to have been like 21 maybe. And I had made a dinner for my boyfriend at that time. I was waiting for him. It was like going to be like a really nice night. I had a movie. Well, he got stuck at work. And because I couldn't express how much that hurt me. I couldn't express what I was feeling at the time. I felt betrayed. I felt ignored. I felt like I didn't matter. There were so many things that I was feeling at that age, but I had no idea how to process what I was feeling or even identify what I was feeling. So when I finally got to talk to my boyfriend at that time, who's my husband now, but when I finally got to talk to him, it turned into this big fight. It turned into this massive fight, and it was arguments and this and that. And I was like, well, we shouldn't be together. And I remember the fight getting like really ugly, like yelling and screaming. And in that moment, I look back at that scenario that happened, and I think to myself, Crystal had learned really freaking good to be reactive. Like, I'm being hurt. Let me close my walls and let me react. Because if I react, I won't get hurt. If I react, I'll get my point across. If I react, he knows how much it hurt me. Moving forward to today, I've realized that when I am reactive, it doesn't help the scenario. All it does is puts us in a scenario of, it puts a pull on the person and the relationship. Perhaps it's your best friend. When you are reactive, what are they going to do? Shut down? They probably already feel bad enough for things not going, but we push people away. And worse than that, we hurt ourselves too in the process. We hurt ourselves because we make up all these scenarios in our mind. They did this. They didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't care. When in reality, when we develop emotional awareness, which is breathwork does for you, we can become proactive versus reactive. See, being intentional about our breathing patterns can literally shift the switch from wanting to like react this bad to being proactive and switching the roles and saying, okay, what happened? You know, I'm sorry that you got stuck at work. I still want to be celebrated. I still feel like this is a big milestone for us. Can we make plans to do something different? You know, because this is really important to me. Now the conversation shifts from blaming to we're finding a new solution together. Now it's not me and you. It's not me against you. It's you and me against the problem. And I've realized that over and over and over with breathwork, that every time I do breathwork, I learn new things about my emotions. I learn new things that I'm harnessing. I learn new memories that I'm holding on to that I had no idea I was even holding on to. So breathwork to me is a way to get into my body and feel connected to who I am. Breathwork to me is a way to empower myself. Breathwork is a way for me to help my clients have an amazing transformation within their own breath. Breathwork is also the tool that I use in the moments when life gets tough. I can flip that switch, get into my own awareness, and realize, okay, it's not me against you. It's you and me against the problem. Whether it's me and my brother, my siblings, whether it's my husband, whether it's my parents, it flips the switch and helps us control our emotions, because I think emotions are something that they happen and we get to feel them in order to heal, right? But it helps me become more aware of them. And again, when we can be intentional about our breathing, we can heal versus waiting for the world to trigger us. I read this, I think it was maybe a month ago. I read this and it said, 90% of individuals in this world will transform out of pain, meaning they've gone through something really heavy in their life and now life is getting tough and they feel like they can't go any further. So they end up transforming, right? Or they end up seeking help or working on themselves, hiring a coach, joining a community. And then they connect to like the most next level elevated version of themselves. For me, unfortunately, it wasn't like that. I literally waited for the pain. Actually, I feel like I said that wrong. Yeah, a lot of the people, they transform this way, right? But then there's 10% that people don't change out of a situation. They change out of inspiration. They're just inspired to become the best selves. They're just inspired to connect with the next level of themselves, and they do internal work. For me, this is where I was saying it wrong. For me, it wasn't the inspiration. I literally transformed out of desperation. I was desperate for more. I was desperate for not crying myself to sleep. I was desperate for feeling like I was loved by myself, because for so long I had put my own self-worth on somebody else. And for so long, I had allowed, if that person wanted me or if that person was around me, to tell me if I was happy or not. Because when they weren't, I was wondering what's going on. Did I do something? Did I offend them? Are they mad at me? When in reality, I never slowed down to worry about Crystal. So for me, breathwork changed my life for those reasons. It allows me to get into my body. It allows me to feel connected. It allows me to realize that I am just a byproduct of the beliefs that raise me. And that is not a good thing, and that is not a bad thing. It simply means that if you're a byproduct of the beliefs that raised you, you get to slow down and you get to say, huh, well, if I am a byproduct of these beliefs and they're no longer serving me anymore, what kind of beliefs do I actually want in my life? Who am I becoming? And you get to work to become that person. You get to work to become that person. And I always tell my private, especially in our private community, we had this conversation not too long ago inside the Soul Collective. And we were saying how in order to become that girl, you have to start acting like that girl right now. Like, you have to start living life, like, raise the standard for yourself. And life will meet you halfway. When you can tell the universe, you know what, from now on, life always works out for me. I am a freak, if you know by now, I am a freak about telling myself affirmations on the daily. And I don't sit there in the morning and say, I am strong, I am beautiful, I am this. But I'm very specific with affirmations. Like, one of my go-to affirmations every single day that I will never skip every day, I was going to say not say, but that sounded confusing, is today is going to be the best freaking day of my life. Or today is going to be the best day ever, depending on the vibe that I'm in. Every single morning, I wake up and I say why I'm grateful for, what I'm grateful for, three reasons, and why those three reasons I'm grateful for. Then I will literally say, good morning, God. I believe in God. So I say, good morning, God. Good morning, Crystal. Today is going to be the best day ever. And I do the sign of the cross in my forehead again, because I grew up, that's just how I grew up in my home with my parents. So I do the sign of the cross in my forehead, and then I get up. And when I get up, I am super obsessed with having a life that feels aligned, that feels good for Crystal, where she feels thriving, where she feels happy. So I have to remember to proactively do the things that light her soul up on fire, whether that's putting on music, whether that's doing this, really remembering to put her first and value her first. Because for so long, I had been living on a default mode based on the beliefs of the people that I've loved. And here's what we've learned, or here's one of the beliefs that I had learned as a child, is take care of yourself. Don't gain weight. I remember my mom had this big thing where she would always be on me about my weight, to the point where it's actually one of my biggest healing points in my life right now. It's having a healthy relationship with my body, because for so long my mom would nag at me about my weight and this and that, that she created like this unhealthy relationship between me and my body. And what I realized is the majority of the world isn't looking at their internal world. They're focused on, does my hair look good? Are my roots showing? Are my canas showing? You know, do I need to go do my nails? Do I need to go do my brows? Do I need to go to the gym because I'm gaining a little bit of weight? But we're not looking at our internal world. So we end up looking sometimes really freaking good physically, but we still feel unknown on the inside, or sad on the inside, or like we're lost in our own path. And it's because we don't slow down and take a look at the internal world. And breathwork allows you to do that. It allows you to slow down and take a look at the internal world. What are you harnessing? What thoughts are you still stored in a little box all the way in the back of your body that you don't show anybody? Most of humanity is living in a reactive world. And only tap in when they absolutely have to. Again, the tragedy or the crisis, that's when we tap into our world. So here's what I've learned over and over now in this journey. And that's why I said that even for me, unfortunately, it wasn't inspiration that caused this journey. It was desperation. Some people take the pain and look at it and transform their life. Okay? Which so many of us are doing on this journey, which is why you're on this podcast right now. You're looking at the stuff that's happened to you and you're choosing to use it as stepping stones to get you to closer to the person you're becoming, right? There's other human beings in this world, however, that live in denial and blame others and continue to repeat that cycle over and over and over. Especially I see this when people are dating. One of the things that I had to go through, a cycle of awareness that I had to go through, and I don't think I've shared this, or perhaps I have, I can't remember. But one of the things is when me and my boyfriend, if you guys know our story, me and my husband dated from when I was 15 to when I was 24. So from 15 years old to 24 years old. We dated, we did our careers, we were engaged, and early 25, we decided to call it off. We went our own ways, we called off our wedding, and it was one of the most darkest times of my life. Because a lot of the thoughts that kept coming in my head were, if I can't make him happy, then what does happiness even mean? Because the thing with me and him was, we weren't miserable. We weren't fighting. He was a great partner. I just didn't love him. I loved him as a human being, but I wasn't in love with him. And I felt like I was trapped in my relationship. And the same thing with him is, I don't want to speak from his end, but he was so busy with work and everything. Like, I wasn't in his life anymore. As much as we wanted to make it work, we weren't in each other's life, so we ended it. And I realized that every single time I had a problem with him, I was shut down. Every time I felt unloved or unseen, I wouldn't tell him, and I just assumed he would know. I would assume that he had to do something to make it up. Well, when that relationship ended and we both went our own ways and I started dating again, I would go on dates and there would be things that I didn't like about a guy or conversations that I didn't agree with. And rather than communicating that, I would shut down again. And I would shut down and it would be another, like I would go on another date with somebody, like blind dates, and I would do the same thing. And it was a pattern of me repeating the cycle of not knowing how to communicate, shutting down. And it got me thinking, it got me to the point where, damn, I can't make anyone happy. Well, now looking back at that girl who she was, I wish I could hug her so tight and tell her, like, it's not that you don't know how to love. It's that you don't know how to love yourself. Because at the end of the day, all these guys, like, don't matter. And I don't say that in a mean way. I say it in a, you don't know how to communicate your own needs. If you don't know how to communicate your own needs, how do you expect the world to fit your needs? It's almost the same thing. Like, people say, there's like a Mexican saying my mom used to always say, like, if you're hungry, I wonder what is that, like, closed mouths? I'm trying to remember it in English, but the closest one is like closed mouths don't get fed, right? Like, if your mouth is closed, how the heck can I shove food in there? You need to open your mouth so the food can go into your mouth, into your throat, and you can eat it. The same way is with your needs, babe. Like, you listening to this episode right now, babe. Your needs cannot be met if you are not expressing your needs. Your happiness cannot be fulfilled if you're not allowing or communicating with the world what is it that makes you happy. There is nothing wrong with you. You are not unlovable. You are not unworthy. You are not a mess. You are not anything that you've been telling yourself. You are simply a human being living with coping mechanisms tied to beliefs that probably are outdated. You are a human being that is getting to decide who she wants to be, who she wants to become. And now you get to slow down in this season of life right now and ask, okay, who do I want to be? What things do I need to do to become her? And you get to start acting like her. You get to start repairing the wounds that you have internally. You get to start rewiring the beliefs that aren't serving you. Like in my case, it was the idea of getting mad and not expressing. Like I wasn't doing that on purpose. That's just the way that I had learned. I had grown up with a dad who was very reactive. And every time my dad was mad, I don't know, this is just the way it was in our house, is when my dad came home mad, the whole house was quiet. Nobody talked. Everybody stayed out of his way, because then we were all going to get in trouble. And then it was game over. So I learned at a very young age, Crystal shuts up the moment anyone around her is angry or upset, because then she's going to get it. And now in my relationships, the moment a partner or a friend or someone said something that perhaps I thought they were mad or I thought they were upset, I would just shut down. And rather than communicate, I would push people away. So how could people really love me if I didn't know how to love myself? I didn't know how to meet those needs. So the same thing is with you, babe. You listening, I want you to remember that the mind is designed to keep you safe. And it's designed to avoid pain and hijack experiences. So anytime you feel like things are not working out or you're in a rough season, I want you to remember this. My mind isn't trying to support me. It's just trying to keep me safe. But your body wants to do that. Your body wants to take care of you. Your body wants to build the connections with people. There's a thing that I read a few years ago that I'll never forget. And it said, trauma wires us for protection. Healing wires us for connection. Your body wants and craves that connection. Your body wants to connect to the loved ones that it has around them, but your body will feel whatever is happening. It will walk you through the actual scenario, and it will seek to understand, what is this? What do I need in this moment? What do I need to express? When you can allow your body to start guiding your life, not your mind, because you know our mind is very well known for overthinking, right? No. When we can allow our body, trust our body, trust our heart, trust our soul to lead life, life gets to change forever. So I started this episode with saying, here are the reasons why I love breathwork. And it's a reminder for you right here, right now, saying, hey, allow your body to lead. Allow your body to connect to yourself. Allow your body to give you the answers. Because when we can get past the mind, we can be in an observation, not identification. We can shift the thought patterns and understand and knowing everything is happening for us, not to us. That is why breathwork for me is just so beautiful. It's because it allows me to get into my awareness. It allows me to get connected to myself. And for anybody listening, we have the 7-day breathwork breakthrough challenge. If you've never experienced breathwork and you've heard me talk about it, or perhaps this is the first time you've ever heard me talk about it, go down to the show notes and download the 7-day breathwork breakthrough challenge. Day one alone is gonna like mind blow you, because the awareness that happens in just one time of you getting into your breath changes your life. I promise you that. And that is why I'm obsessed with breathwork, because I am on a mission. I'm a movement mission. I'm obsessed with getting to know who Crystal is at the core. Because even though I've gone through so much healing, even though I've gone through so much development, I'm not perfect. I still have days where I still doubt myself. I still have days where I don't know what comes next. I don't know, or I react to my husband and then I feel like a jerk because I shouldn't have said that. We are all human beings made up of emotions, and our life is always an energy. When you think about emotion, we are all full of energy, which is emotion. And the motion is life is changing every single day. So emotion literally means a human being living life day by day. That's all it means. So when I can get into my body, I still have healing to do. I still have work to do. And you guys know how freaking excited I am about this work. Like, I am excited because I get to be the grandma one day that changed the cycle for all my great-great-granddaughters. Like, that is what excites me the most. It's breath work. It's being in my body. It's being in my awareness. It's healing for me and knowing that there's still work that has to be done. And honestly, the work is probably going to be continued forever and ever. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see how Crystal reacted today versus how she would have reacted 5 years ago. It's beautiful to give myself grace and realize, Crystal, dang, you're having a bad day today. But you get to sit in your emotions and you get to feel them and heal them. It's beautiful to know that everything is happening for us, not to us. Knowing that we get to observe our life. Knowing it's safe to feel. Knowing if we feel, we get to heal. As we are adulting, I say adulting because I am 30 years old now and I still feel like I have a ton of adulting I need to do. As we are doing our adulting, the biggest encouragement to you is reminding yourself, wait a minute, am I allowing myself to feel? Am I allowing my body? Am I giving a chance to my body to take care of me? Because we've developed so many skills by now. We've developed how to be a good mom, how to be a good cook, how to be a good, I don't know, house cleaner, how to be a good organizer, how to be good at our job. There's so many freaking tools that we develop. But the question is, are you developing your own emotional awareness too? Are you developing your own sense of awareness too? In the greater scheme of things, whether you use breath work, whether you use meditation, I mean, you can use meditation too if you want to. That's totally fine. I always tell people, use whatever's going to work for you. For me, being a girl who has ADHD, it's so hard for me to focus on meditation, which is why the breath work keeps me focused, because it just allows me to be more in the zone, right? So whatever it is that you are using, ask yourself, am I allowing my body to be a part of my experience here on earth? Am I allowing my heart, my soul to guide the decisions that I'm making? Or am I letting my mind hijack the experiences that are happening for me? Because when you can allow your body and your soul to lead you to lead you in life, everything changes for you. The way you start seeing yourself, the way you start trusting yourself, and when you trust yourself, the way your confidence grows, and when your confidence grows, the way you feel about yourself, like, it's a domino effect. And it starts with your own body awareness. You weren't put on this planet to just survive. You were put on this planet to freaking thrive. You were put on this planet to find your more, to live a fulfilled career, to wake up every dang day and say, I am so excited for what life has for me today. And if that isn't happening for you, then it's probably because you're being stuck in your mind right now. You're letting your mind hijack these experiences. You get to build this phenomenal life that you say, I can't believe this is my life. If you are not getting into your body, if you're not growing your self-awareness, then this episode is your reminder right here, right now, me. I am reminding you that you are worthy, that you deserve this, that you deserve to wake up every day and feel like your life is a freaking dream. And one of the ways to get there is allowing your body to become part of your experience, allowing your body, your soul to guide your life, because then you reach true fulfillment versus success. So many of us in this world are successful, right? We're successful. We can pay our bills. We can pay rent. We can feed ourselves. We're successful. Now, my question is, are you fulfilled? Half of the time people have to answer that question, the answer is no. And I would hate for you listening to this episode on the other side saying, damn, I am successful, but I'm not fulfilled. Let your body come home to you. Let your soul awaken. Let your experiences shape you and show you what needs to heal. Heal and become the most powerful, confident, best version of yourself, because you owe yourself that. You get to become whoever the heck you want to become. we had a conversation the other day with somebody who just joined the certification program. If you guys are brand new to the podcast, you guys know that we have a certification program. And in the certification program, you're 6 months with us, 6 months of learning how to become a breathwork teacher, learning how to become a trauma-informed coach. There's a lot of healing that happens in that container for yourself internally, but you also learn how to facilitate this transformation for other women, other humans, perhaps kids in schools, perhaps police officers, whoever you choose to serve, right? But it's 6 months of working together. And we were having a conversation the other day in the cohort with somebody who signed up to the cohort. And she said, "Crystal, my heart is telling me to do this because I want to help women heal. But I know in my body, my own answer is, I'm finally going to heal myself." And when she said that, so many tears came down her eyes. And she said, I've always learned to take care of the ones that I love. My mom would always tell me, remember, you got to take care of others. You got to give. It's better to give and not receive. And she's like, I've always been taught to be humble and take care of the world. And I feel like in the taking care of the world, I started taking care of everybody else that I forgot myself. And she's in the certification program now. She's going to get certified and she's going to become a breathwork coach in 6 months because that's how long the certification takes. It's all online, so you can do it from anywhere, any state. And as she enrolled on the certification program, seeing her commitment to herself, seeing her body fully say yes and her trust it was a pivotal moment in her life. Because a lot of us, we know our body says yes, but we let our mind hijack the experience and we overthink it, and there's not this, there's not that, oh, I don't have time, you know what, no, not this, oh, next. And next thing you know, before we know, we're more out than in, right? I always believe that when your body says yes, you'll figure out the rest. When your body says yes, you will figure out the rest. And that is exactly what happened in this moment when I'm talking about leading with your body, letting your soul guide you. She found our community and she's like, "Crystal, I want to be a breathwork teacher." And she's going to serve a school district. So she's not even going to be coaching, but she's like, "I want to take this breathwork and teach it to young kids, TK to be specific. I want to teach TK, pre-kinder, how to breathe when they get anxious, how to breathe when they get sad, how to breathe when they get happy. And I want to give them the gift of showing them how to lead with their body at such a young age versus waiting till they're 24, because she's 24, and being in a phase of living a life from a reactive perspective, not a proactive perspective. So my biggest reminder to you right now is it's your time. It's your season to heal, to grow, to become, to evolve. You're already on this episode. You're already here listening. Now listen to your body. Gain the awareness in your soul. And remember, when your body says yes, you'll figure out the rest. Whatever ideas you have in your heart, whatever little things your body is tugging at you, the gut feelings that you have, they're there for a reason. For anybody who is going to be welcoming, for anybody who's going to be joining us on the next round of the certification program, I'm also going to be leaving the link below on the show notes. If breathwork is something that calls you, if becoming a coach is something that calls you, even just teaching breathwork to a yoga studio perhaps, or, you know, new moms who are going through postpartum. I've never been able to say that word. Postpartum, I think. Even if you want to take breathwork and help all the moms going to postpartum, or you want to take breathwork and help perhaps people who are in hospitals, but you know your soul is craving to help the world, and breathwork to you is what's calling you, then I encourage you. I am here to give you that little push that you need and tell you to scroll down to the show notes, apply to the certification program. You'll see it says certification program. Get certified in this work. Because that idea, that pull that your heart tells you, that you want to help others, it wasn't there just to be there. It's there because somebody else in this world is going to hear your story. Somebody else in this world is going to hear you, and they're going to cross paths with you. And because of you, they're not going to give up in life. My beautiful soul, my beautiful friend, my beautiful woman, human listening to this episode, I want you to know how worthy you are. I want you to know how much you are loved. And for everybody who's joining us on this certification program, the doors, the next certification program starts in September, but you can pre-enroll. You can already pre-enroll. We are about to embark on an amazing journey with a sisterhood, a community, and you are about to embark on your biggest journey yet. And I'm so excited. And for everybody else that's listening to this episode and it's like, Crystal, I just needed this reminder today. I just needed this pool to remind me to show up as her, start becoming her, start honoring my needs, start working on my communication skills, whatever it is that you got from this episode, I'm sending you so much love. I'm sending you so, so much love. And I hope you know that I'm rooting for you today, tomorrow, and always. I love you so, so much. That is all I have for you on today's episode. I'm sending you so much freaking love. And I'll talk to you on the next Soul Radio episode. Oh, by the way, if you haven't joined the giveaway, go join the giveaway. This is your reminder to go join the giveaway. All right. Love you so much. Have a great Wednesday, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.